I'm Carrie Nolan. It's Monday, May 9th, and time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now, as he does every week. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Carrie.
David, you reported this morning that the U.S. is pressuring Pakistan for access to Osama bin Laden's three widows, who are now in Pakistani custody. Why is interviewing them so important?
Well, the key issue that's developed in the past week since the killing of Osama bin Laden is the question of who in Pakistan knew he was there and what kind of support network did he have in this military town only 35 miles or so from Islamabad. Some of that information presumably is on the thumb drives and hard drives that the commandos scooped up after killing bin Laden a week ago. But the key to this may well be those three wives who all lived in the compound and know who came and went. And they may well have the names of some of those in the ISI, the intelligence service, or political figures who came to visit.
We've seen Pakistan threaten that if the U.S. ever violates its sovereignty by mounting a similar raid again, it would, quote, reconsider its relationship with Washington. Should this be a concern for the Obama administration?
Well, it's certainly got to be a concern because for all of the frustrations with Pakistan, and there are many of them, it's still the route for supplying the troops in Afghanistan, and it's still a key player in counterterrorism operations, particularly up in the Northwest Territories. But I have to tell you that what you've heard from members of Congress, including some very senior members of Congress in the past week, are exact mirror images of what General Kiani, the Pakistani chief of staff, said, which is that maybe it's the U.S. that should be reconsidering the relationship. After all, we do spend about $1 billion a year on the Pakistani military. And I think the question that many in the U.S. are asking now is whether or not this money is well spent, given the continuing evidence of Pakistani participation, at least in supporting the Taliban and maybe in supporting Osama bin Laden.
Now, in talking about that $1 billion a year we send to Pakistan in military aid, some are claiming the Pakistani government was complicit in hiding bin Laden. CIA Director Leon Panetta says they're merely incompetent. Either way, why do we continue sending them that money, and what are they using it for?
The big question is, what happens if you stop sending them the money? There is intelligence sharing that goes on. They are presumably spending it, or say they are spending it, to help finance the movement of their troops up into the Northwest Territories. They don't have much of equipment to go do this, although periodically, whenever Pakistan is given equipment, one discovers that at least some of it is sent off toward the Indian border, not where the terrorist concern is, to protect them against India. But the main question is, if you lose a window on Pakistan, do you lose a window on the 100 or so nuclear weapons that they have? The U.S. isn't certain where all of them are, but they certainly want to be in a position where they would know if there was a vulnerability or if al-Qaeda or the Taliban managed to grab some nuclear material.
Let's bring it back home. What did we learn about President Obama over this past week?
Well, if you believe the polls, Carrie, Americans certainly got a different view of him. They viewed him as far more decisive. The old narrative of some of his critics, which I think they were hoping to take into the campaign, that he made national security a lesser priority, I think that's going to be a harder case to make. What is interesting, just in watching the interviews with him and talking to some of his staff members, is while he hesitated about sending in the commandos for fear of what kind of risk they would be taking, he didn't seem to have any particular concern about what was essentially an assassination mission on Osama bin Laden. And when he was asked about this on CBS on 60 Minutes last night, he said that was the one part of this that didn't cause him to lose any sleep. So I think we're beginning to see with a little more clarity how he defines what is a vital American national interest and what's a secondary one.
Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Carrie.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM, WQXR.